This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. Night number 14, inshaAllah. And we continue with the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. So after a number of years, Nabi Yusuf now is, we said, like the minister of finance of Egypt, perhaps the second most powerful man in the world after the king of Egypt, because at this time, Egypt was the strongest nation in the world. And remember, the king said that I'm going to make him exclusively mine. There's no one above Yusuf. The only person above Yusuf is the king, and he answers to me directly, and he can move and do as he pleases. Subhanallah. And let's see how long this period was that he was absent, because Allah says, after he had been in the position for at least 7 years. So this was after 7 years of harvesting and storing the harvest. Now we are in the years of the drought, where people are coming to buy the grain of Egypt. So Nabi Yusuf is in charge of giving out the grain and making sure you only take what is allowed. Each one is rationed with a specific amount. And then one day, as he is doing his job, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And lo and behold, these 10 Canaanites, so these 10 guys from Palestine, come in looking to buy and purchase grain, and Yusuf alayhi salam recognized, these are my brothers, but they do not recognize him. Because when they left him, he was a 7-year-old boy, and they were already, some of them were already grown up. Now let's just count how long this has been. So Yusuf was 7 when they dropped him in the well. Then he was picked up and he grew up in the house of Aziz until he became mature. So maybe about 10, 13 years, he's now 20 years old. So 13 years in the house of Aziz. And then the wife wanted to seduce him. He refused, so he was in jail for at least another 7 years. Remember, Allah says the guy forgot Ummah, he only remembered after a long period of time. So Nabi Yusuf was at least another 7 years in jail. He's 27 now, almost 30, basically, when he's finally released from prison. And then he is the minister of finance for the first 7 years of harvest. And now we're into the drought years. So another maybe 2 years after that. So Nabi Yusuf is almost into his 40s. So this has been more than 30 years that they have not seen each other. And now Nabi Yusuf remembers them, but they don't remember him. Also, it mentions that Nabi Yusuf, of course, by now he's speaking the language of the Egyptians. He's dressed like them, whereas these guys are dressed in the Palestinian clothing, and they are speaking the language of Jerusalem, of Palestine. So Nabi Yusuf understands, but they don't know he understands. And he's not telling them, I speak your language. So even though they're there, they have an interpreter to interpret between him and them. Nabi Yusuf understands very clearly what they are saying. So this also shows you Nabi Yusuf did a very good job, that other nations need to come to collect their rations from Egypt. And there was a strict policy that you could only get one camel load per person. Now remember, I don't know, subhanAllah, we all survived the great drought of 2017, 2018 here in Cape Town. Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant that that never returns. I believe there's a cold front coming in, so take precautions. And I hope our dams filled up. But for those of us who, I don't know if any of you queued in the line to collect water, you're only allowed to take X amount of cans. You can't say, I'm fetching for my granny and my opa. No, no, no. You have to take what you can carry, and that's it. And this is a similar situation. You can only take what your camel can carry. And a very important point, side note here. Look at how the tables have turned now. They're coming to him basically begging for their rations for food. And this is the same person that they basically tried to kill. You don't know in life how someone you've hurt, someone you've stabbed in the back, someone whose job you took, someone whose position you took, how easily tomorrow the tables can turn and you are in that person's, you depend on that person. And really, a pious person, when you have the upper hand, this is really where your iman is tested. When you're at the bottom, it's easy to have patience, but when you have the power now to squash your enemies, to be, you know, forgiving in that essence, in that way, that is, subhanAllah, really what is one of the attributes of the believer. And remember, this is a big theme of Surah Yusuf. Many people wrong Nabi Yusuf and he will forgive all of them. Remember, Ramadan, we want Allah to forgive us. But we cannot get that forgiveness if we still hold grudges. If there's still a brother, a sister. Yes, they did something wrong to us, but we curse them and we punish them now in the dunya already. No. If you let go those grudges, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. But if we're not able to forgive in the dunya, how do we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us? So they come in now, and Nabi Yusuf knows them. The next ayah, Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازٍ قَالَتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِي الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. So After they had spent some time in Egypt, and it's clear now, it doesn't say directly, that they had a good relationship with Nabi Yusuf. Nabi Yusuf basically entertained them. Again, not telling them, I'm your brother. And he's basically, you know, he's looking, giving them as the guests, honoring them. And he got to know, so he says to them, bring me this brother that you have. Now, how does he know that there's another brother? So they basically said, they came 10 guys, but they had 11 camels. And he says, why do you have an extra camel? So they said, no, this extra camel is, we've got a younger brother called Binyamin. We're basically going to collect on his behalf for his family. So Nabi Yusuf is asking now, why don't you bring your brother with? So now they're explaining, look, we're actually 12 brothers. And then we had a bad brother who died in a well, you know, long time ago. And this is his younger brother. He's not a good guy. And, you know, he's not allowed to come with us. And they basically said what they said. And so they said, but we need to collect for his family as well. Now the policy is you're not allowed to take more than you can carry. And Abu Yusuf says, I can't break the rules. In the biblical narration, it mentions that he gave them an extra camel load, but he took one of them as a hostage. Now Allah Alam, that doesn't appear to be the case in the Quran. And Abu Yusuf basically says to them, I'm going to give you 10, but you can come again to me, bring your brother, and I'll give you the 11th camel load. I'll give you another one. Don't you see, and he's saying to them, don't you see, أَلَا تَرَوْنِ أَنِّي أَوْفِ الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. Don't you see, you have nothing to fear. That if you come again, tomorrow, you know, in a few weeks' time, I will give you well. And he says, you can see, I give the full measure. You know, even though you are foreigners, even though you don't come, not from this land, I'm giving you more than what you basically deserve. So come again, and you bring your brother with. فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ. But if you don't bring your brother next time, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ, then don't expect any further rations from me. وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ, and don't even come and speak to me. Now, why is he saying this? You know, some people, they make big promises. You know, I swear I have an old uncle or father and I need all of this. Long stories, but now you will say, come show it, prove it to me, then they know it to be found. So he's saying, I want to see if you're telling the truth. Bring me this brother of yours. قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ. They said, we will try our best to persuade our father to let him go with us, and indeed we will do it. We promise we'll do it. Now this also shows you that 30 years have passed, and Nabi Ya'qub, they still didn't get what they wanted from Nabi Ya'qub. It just shows you that sin that they thought. They thought, once we get rid of Yusuf, our father will be looking at us. His face will be all for us. Shows 30 years have passed, they didn't get what they wanted. They did the crime, they harmed the brother, they basically killed the brother in their mind, and they didn't get what they want. And now Nabi Ya'qub is even more protective of Binyamin. Binyamin's a big man now, and he still says, I don't trust you with my son alone. And so, this also shows to Nabi Yusuf that this animosity is there, and he still fears that his younger brother is in danger. And so, we know that he will plan to bring Binyamin to him. And that's why he says, bring you, when you guys come again, bring your younger brother. Now question, and you find this in the books of Tafsir, long discussion amongst the Mufassirin. They said, Yusuf knows, alayhi salam knows, already Nabi Ya'qub is crying at home because he lost one son. Why would he take another son away from him? You know, why wouldn't he just say, take the camel load and leave him there? Why? Why did he orchestrate this plot? Number one, of course, he's a Nabi of the Anbiya of Allah. There's a much bigger story behind Nabi Yusuf's story. In fact, if you go all the way back, Nabi Ibrahim is one man alone, right? And he's preaching Tawheed. And he wants his message to reach the world. Allah says, you are an ummah. Don't worry. From you, your message will spread to the world. Now this is the great grandson of Nabi Ibrahim. And in the palace of the highest authority in the world, you have someone talking Tawheed. And from that, these people will come from Palestine, live in Egypt, and then Nabi Musa will be born and take them back to Canaan. Meanwhile, in Arabia, another son of Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Ismail, his progeny, the Arabs of Arabia, they are growing. So all of this is a much part of a much bigger plan. Allah is telling Nabi Yusuf, you just do what I tell you to do. As we said, another interpretation is that this was a test for Nabi Ya'qub. And you remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the Anbiya. We give you what you want and we test you in that which you love.
قال لفتيانه أجعله بضاعتهم في راحلهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون.
So just as they're packing now, so they came for grain. Right, the boys are coming for, the 10 brothers are coming for grain. But they came with, they didn't come to get, you don't get this free, you have to purchase it. So they came with some, either gold, silver, or some goods to barter. And so Nabi Yusuf says to his fitiya, his boy, meaning his servant, when you pack the grain,
put all their belongings they gave, put it back in there with the grain, so that when they go back home and they unpack the grain, they must see that I've returned their merchandise to them. I basically gave them free of charge. I've gave this to them free of charge. SubhanAllah, Mufassirin even says, as a minister, are you allowed to give the treasury stuff free of charge? You can't just give, SARS can't just give you a refund free of charge because you're my brother. In fact, this is corruption. Right, so that is the real problem. They said, no, Yusuf out of his own pocket, he basically paid for the grain, and then he gave, and also, SubhanAllah, at this point in time, furs and leathers, these things have no value now. Everyone wants food. He didn't give them more food. This is what everybody wants. He gave his brothers, his father, the exact amount of food that everyone needs to give, but he paid for it out of his own, and he returned the goods to them. Why did he do this? He wanted them, when they go home, when they unpack it, they realize, yo, this guy gave it for free. So next time, when the shopkeeper gives you something for free, you're naturally going to go back to that same shop. Also, it would take them a long time to collect this merchandise again, to come to buy a second load. But now that they have the goods, they can easily go tomorrow, basically bring Binyamin with, and then they can buy another load of goods. And this is, subhanAllah, this is the Mufassirin mentioned here, this is a very good example of, it is better to give someone, when you give charity, you give a loan to someone, don't make him feel like he's indebted. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this there's a beautiful story of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Great Sahabi Jabir radiallahu anhu. Jabir radiallahu anhu, his father passed away and left Jabir with a lot of sisters. So their family was quite poor. And the only property Jabir had was a camel. And it was a very old, weak camel. So the Prophet ﷺ is there on their way, they fought jihad, they're on their way back. And Jabir is struggling to keep up. So the Nabi ﷺ slows his camel down, and he speaks to Jabir, and he gets to hear how difficult things are in Jabir's house. And also in that discussion, the Prophet ﷺ says, Jabir, I heard you got married, mashallah. Tell me about this woman. Is she a young girl? So he says, no, I married a big lady. So the Prophet says, why? You're a young man, you never married before. Marry a young girl, the two of you. So he says, no, I have young sisters. I don't want to marry another cute young girl. Then I need a woman to basically take charge of the situation at home. So the Nabi says, that's a good choice. And then the Nabi makes dua and he pats this camel. And this camel becomes super strong. And it becomes the fastest camel, and he's sprinting. And Jabir is running and he wants to get home quickly because he just got married. So the Prophet says, no, slow down, Jabir. Give your wife a chance to prepare for you. Now as they are riding back home, the Prophet says to Jabir, this camel now, mashallah, it's really good. Sell this camel to me now. And Jabir says, Ya Rasulullah, it's the only property I have is this camel. I don't want to sell it. And the Prophet says to him, sell me the camel. And he says, no, sell me the camel. SubhanAllah, to Rasulullah, he says, no. Right? Not as a prophet of Allah, but as a transaction. I don't want to do this transaction. Eventually, Jabir relents and he says, okay, Ya Rasulullah, I have sold this camel to you on condition that you let me ride it till we get to Medina. This also shows you in a contract you can make an additional, because otherwise if we took the camel now, Ya Rasulullah, I have to walk to Medina. So he says, no problem, when you get to Medina, I'll give the camel to you. The Prophet pays the price of the camel. He gets to Medina, and after Jabir arrives in Medina, now he brings the camel to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ smiles at him and says, Jabir, I never wanted to buy your camel. You keep the camel and you keep the money I gave you as well. Why? Because Jabir would have felt bad if the Prophet gave him a charity. In this way, he says, I gave you a business transaction. You felt like we did a fair trade. But you know what? You keep it. No problem. You keep the change. SubhanAllah. That's a nicer way of giving charity. There's a beautiful example of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Jabir got the super camel, plus he got some money as well. So the Nabi Yusuf wanted his family. Also, he knows his family is in difficulty. He paid for their goods, but he also wants them to return. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا So now when they got back to Canaan, they come back to Nabi Ya'qub ila abihim, to their father. Qalu ya abana muni'a minna al-kayl fa'arsil ma'ana akhana naqtal wa inna lahu lahafidhun. They said, ya, our father, they have not given us grain. Now this is now exaggeration. They got 10 camels, they didn't get 11. But they said, ya, our father, they didn't want to give us our grain. They're crying about the one camel. And they won't give us any more grain, so allow us to take our brother with next time. So let us go with our brother, and inna lahu lahafidhun. They use the exact same terms like they use for Yusuf. We will protect him and we will watch over our brother. قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا آمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلٍ فَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ حَافِظَهُ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Nabi Yaqub is being sarcastic now. He says, okay, you're going to look after him just like you looked after his brother, right? Exactly the same way you looked after Yusuf. That's how you're going to look after him. He's asking a rhetorical question. Should I trust you like I trusted you with Yusuf? Rather, Allah is the best guardian, and He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. There's a hadith that the Prophet says, a believer is never stung from the same hole twice. You know? That you don't fall in the same trap twice. If you're a believer, meaning as a believer, you don't get taken advantage twice by the same person. So Yaqub says, no ways. I'm not going to do this for you. ولما فتحوا متاعهم وجدوا بضاعتهم ردت إليهم قالوا يا أبانا ما نبغي هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا ونمير أهلنا ونحفظ أخانا ونزداد كيل بعيد ذلك كيل يسير. So they said, oh our father, when they opened their bags, and so now they're unpacking the goods, and when they unpacked it, they found their merchandise returned to them. They said, oh father, look, our goods have been returned to us. What more do you want? Look at this. You know, this is like prophet upon prophet. Oh, our father, what more can we do? How can we convince you? This is our merchandise return. Let us go. We can obtain a supply for our family. We will protect our brother. And we can get an extra camel load. And that is something very easy. That is something very easy. The last ayah for the evening. Qala, Nabi Ya'qub now says, لَنْ أَرْسَلَهُ مَعْكُمْ I will never send him with you. حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مُوثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ Until you take an oath with Allah. لَتَأْتُنِنِّي بِهِ That you will surely bring him back to me. إِلَّا أَنْ يُخَاتَبِكُمْ Except if you are completely overpowered. That you will do everything in your power to bring. You basically have to, sumba, you will bring it back. فَلَمَّا آتُوهُ مُوثِقًا So, مُوثِقَهُمْ So once they made this, قَالَ اللَّهُ Nabi Yaqub said, after they swore, took an oath, Nabi Yaqub says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَكُولُ وَكِيلًا Now Allah is a witness between us and you. I put Allah's trust. Allah is now in charge. You made a swear by Allah. Those ayat were actually recited about this, and we'll talk more about tomorrow, but we have to get to you because it's the question. There's three ways in which you can take a vow in Islam, right? Wallahi, tallahi, ubillahi. Not sawallahi, right? There's no sawallahi. That's not really the way we do it. It's three letters in the Arabic language. You can say by Allah, with Allah, and with Allah, right? So there are three letters. Wallahi, this is the one we usually say. In Surah Yusuf, you'll see they say tallahi, tallahi a lot. And there's another one to say billahi. By Allah, I swear. So these are the three letters in which you can take a vow. You can take a qasam. You can take a qasam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshallah, I had to get to that because that's the question for this evening. We move over to the question of last night. Last night's question was, what random act of kindness did Nabi Musa, did he do? Clean the sheep. Carrying the water, watering the flock, or watering the crop. I think the answer is C. It's watering of the flock. It's not cleaning the sheep. The answer is C, not B. The answer is C. And then the question for this evening rather, which is not a type of the nafs mentioned in the Quran? So we spoke about the nafs, which is not the type of nafs in the Quran. The fasting nafs, the regretful nafs, the contented nafs, or the nafs that orders evil. Which of those are the, that's the question for this evening. Then we have our draw. For tonight, we said we didn't give prizes to the sisters last night, so only females can win tonight. Still good to see that the men are here, so alhamdulillah, you're just moving the quiz. Alright, so inshallah, let's pull some names out of here. We've got Alasia Ali? Alawiya. Alawiya Ali. Yeah. She here? Alhamdulillah. Oh, mashallah. Gulkasim is mashallah. And Azra Basir. She here? Both here. Alhamdulillah, fantastic, fantastic. So, Jazakallah khair. We continue tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.